Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Overcome that.
Yeah, we get really comfortable where we are, including comfortable in our fears. I'm afraid to move to Portugal and retire there. Although I've been to Portugal, it's nice, but I wouldn't want to retire there. It's you get comfortable with your fears, and it gets easy to just say, well, you know, I just don't have the time. It's a lot easier to cop out than it is to face it.
Welcome back to Just Doing Life with your favorite host, Megan. And I am not failing you people. If you recall, last week was my first episode back in a long, long time. And I said, I'm going to stick with it. And I'm sticking with it for 2 weeks in a row. So today, it's not just me. I have another interview. Today, I interview Tennis. And Tennis I met on Reddit. We talked about a lot of great things. I think this was an exciting conversation to have because, as I mentioned last week, I don't want all of my interviews to be so tactical. Is that the right word? Tactical career guidance, because I just think that's not super, super useful. And I want it to be more conversational, just talk about life and life stories and perspective and all of these different things, which I think we get a lot of from this conversation. Tennis had a lot of one-liners, which I loved, and things that I just think are really important to keep in mind. And he also is a retired individual, so he has his experiences, or he has the ability to reflect on all of his experiences as he went through his career. I'm excited for you guys to listen to this episode. As always, if you think this is something that you have a friend or family member who would love or benefit from a good conversation, a good story, send it their way. You know, this way it's not just me and my four fans listening. Make someone's day, okay? Anyways, let's get to the episode. Let's get to the good, juicy stuff. All right, here's Tennis. All right. Well, with that, I'll give a little introduction. Hey, everybody. Today, I'm here with Tennis. I met Tennis via Reddit, which is one of my favorite ways to meet strangers. And this is my first interview in a hot second. Just took a little bit of time away from the podcast. So welcome back. And I'm super excited to learn more about Tennis's story. So with that, I'll give you the floor to give a little introduction, where you're from, save all the fun career life journey stuff for later, but any sort of hobbies or cool, interesting things you want the audience to know about yourself.
Okay. My name is Tennis. That's my real name. It's a Southern name. I'm from Alabama. And I left there when I was very young and went out into the world and lived in California for 30 years. And now I'm in Tennessee and retired. My career is mostly behind me now. And I'm here to talk about that.
Amazing. Love to hear it. So Alabama to California to Tennessee, those are all quite different places to live. What brought you out to California, or I guess made you leave Alabama, one or the other?
Oh, I never did well in school. Although I was obviously intelligent as a child, I never really took to school particularly well. I found reasons for that later on, which has to do with what is confused with dyslexia and other things like that. Anyway, long story short, I dropped out of high school. The last grade I actually passed was the eighth grade.
Okay.
And then I, in what would have been my 10th grade year, because I had failed everything, it wasn't a 10th grade year, I dropped out and waited at home until I turned 17. And it was just a few weeks, because I was older than most people in my grade. And I turned 17 and went into the Air Force. And after my time in the Air Force, I was offered a job in California. And that's how I ended up in California.
Okay. So how long were you in the Air Force for?
I was in for 4 years. I
Okay.
had a great time. It was everything I've become and everything I am is because of the Air Force. I don't mind saying. I had an awesome experience. I was stationed in England, just outside London, and was there for 3.5 years.
Very cool. Well, thank you for your service, first of all. I'm curious, I've spoken with individuals who have gone into the Army, Air Force, whatever it may be, right after college or right after high school. And I'm curious, were you, given your history with school, struggling in school, was it something that you were sort of coaxed into? Did it feel like the only option? Where what led you to go into the Air Force originally?
Well, I had always had an affinity for it. My father was a veteran, and most of the people I knew of any age were veterans. My father had a positive experience in the military, so that influenced me. And I thought it was a very nice way to get out of Alabama. So it was a win-win situation as far as I was concerned. So no, I don't feel like that I was groomed and harvested by this evil entity. No, I willingly and very enthusiastically took to it.
Amazing. Any like core memories from being in the Air Force? Anything that you think changed your perspective on life or what you wanted to do?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you find yourself at 3 in the morning in your underwear on a uncarpeted floor, polishing boots with people screaming at you, it gives you a perspective on life.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't say I've come across those situations myself, but
It's one of those, it's I remember near I remember in basic training, the drill instructor came in one day and he had a garbage can in his arms, and he says, "There's garbage in the garbage can, and there's not supposed to be between the hours of 0900 and 1700, but I found garbage in it." So he upends it, dumps all this trash on the floor in front of us, and throws it across the room, and then leaves. And I remember sitting there thinking, "Wow, this is just another day."
oh my, wait, no, sorry. No garbage in the garbage cans during like regular business hours?
Yeah, the idea
What's
is,
the co yeah, elaborate, please.
yeah, the idea is, if you're put into an environment where there are confusing rules, sometimes arbitrary rules, and you just have to deal with it, and believe it or not, after a few weeks of that, you begin to blossom as a person inside the confines of the organization. That sounds really weird. You get into the mindset where you'll do things and go along with things that may not make sense, but that's what they're asking you to do. And that's the part of tearing down of the individual and building up the core mental cores and CORPS mentality. It's not so bad in the Air Force. It's a lot worse than, say, the Marine Corps, but their job. They're, if somebody says, "Well, if you think basic training is bad, try combat." If you think that
Goodness.
sucks.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I'm curious then, what are there also? I don't know if you can tell, but there's like flashing. My light in my ceiling fan decides to go in and out sometimes. So if that happens again, I apologize if it goes berserk. But
Okay.
I'm curious then, what other like crazy rules or experiences did you have that felt like they were trying to break you down? And
Oh yeah, there are lots of
do
those.
that, did were there ever any of for you, any like personal breaking moments where you
Oh
thought,
yeah,
I can't do this?
oh sure, there were a lot of breaking moments. I spent a lot of time crying in phone booths, and how am I going to deal with this? 'Cause that was comparatively I don't know what I would say, nebbishy person as a child. I didn't, do sports, and I wasn't outgoing, and I was very heady and not very athletic. And I just, I'm not used to this being screamed at and pushed around, and no physical violence, but it doesn't make any difference in that one sense, because it was, just emotionally very trying. But there are moments when I was literally, shivering with fear, because, and looking back on it, there was nothing to be afraid of. But, that was me and my naivete at that age. And that's designed to be that way. So when you go through that, there's the old adage that you wouldn't want to do it again, but you wouldn't take anything for the experience.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's a very good experience for a young person to go through.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I do recommend it. It's, in spite of what I'm telling you, I do recommend it.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, cool. Okay, so you went through the Air Force, and then you said you got a job in California.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through that. What was that first job? How did you land it? Were you excited? Were you eager to get out of the Air Force?
Yeah, I was. Eager is a good description. It's not quite the word I would use. I knew it was time.
Okay.
I didn't like what happened to people who stayed in the Air Force. They got comfortable in that womb and sort of stopped taking chances. And I just didn't see myself doing that. I wanted to go out on my own. So I left the Air Force in January, I think, of 84, and then went back to my home of record in Alabama and began sending out resumes. I'm from Northern Alabama. They were obsessed about having a degree. I did not have a degree. I had a GED. I got a GED, incidentally, so I could take classes in Shakespeare at Stratford.
In Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I took Shakespeare at Stratford. I took theater in London. Anyway, sorry, but for the digression.
No, so, I love it. I love it.
They were obsessing in Northern Alabama, where people didn't really know any better. I had been trained as a telecommunications specialist, but everybody around me in Alabama were obsessing about the fact that I didn't have a college degree. Well, I knew perfectly well that I was bankable as a person without the college degree. I just had to find the right organization to appreciate my training. Long story, but I knew about Visa, the credit card company, and that they did hire people like me. So I went down to the library and I did some research, and I found out that the fellow who founded Visa basically said he didn't think education amounted to a hell of a lot, and you can't tell the difference between somebody with a college degree and somebody without. So I thought, okay. So I called up Visa, the area that was involved in my field of expertise, and just got into a BS session with one of the guys. And he told me a lot about it. Now, there were two sites at that time. There was one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. I opted for the one on the West Coast to send my resume to. I also told...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Told them that I would pay for my own trip out there if they would talk to me.
Oh, okay.
Because I was banking pretty heavily. Now, by this time, I had had a couple conversations. It felt really good. I felt like I had...
I'm just sitting here thinking for a second. It's so funny because in today's day and age, I'm sitting here mm-hmm. thinking like a Zoom interview or a phone interview, something like that.
Yeah.
So you're saying you had to obviously commute out there, which is a big deal.
It just took
me a second to realize that what you're saying, you were so adamant about getting this job that you were willing to make the trek out there to get yourself in front of them, as opposed to what we have the luxury of nowadays, where we just say, oh, let's hop on a call, as we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of those things. And that's one of the things that I've got a gray beard now, so I can try to impart wisdom. Right. One of the things I can say is you've got to make opportunities for yourself. And that's the sort of opportunity that I ultimately made for myself. That doesn't mean that I sort of forced my way in the door. It just means that I finally got myself in front of people who appreciated me and I appreciated them.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good conversations on the phone. Told them I would pay my way. They were happy with that. I went out there. I interviewed. They were happy with me. They offered me a job within a few days. And I didn't have anything to my name to speak of. I mean, I had a duffel bag and that's it. Mm-hmm. So it was easy for me to move. So I moved to California, the Bay Area specifically, and was there at Visa for with a a sojourn away for 8 months. I was there for 12 years.
Wow.
So yeah.
All off of a couple of phone calls on a trip out to California. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I want to go back to your comment about having a college education, because I can definitely, I can imagine the pressure that it probably felt to have something on your resume, you know, mm-hmm. not having that college degree and competing against others who did. I'm curious what your thoughts are now. I feel like there's a push away from universities again, not necessarily, you know, this big mass exodus of students leaving colleges, but I think there's a new refound appreciation for like entrepreneurship and the fact that you don't necessarily need to go to college to be mm-hmm. successful. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, you know, as someone who didn't go to school and you made a name for yourself without mm-hmm. having that formal education, is there anything that you feel like you lacked without a degree, or do you understand and, you know, want the push for no more universities or a big deal about universities?
It's a good question. There were a couple of times that I felt lacking in my expertise. Not so much in expertise as in study habits. That was, you know, that's something that you learn in school. Mm-hmm. I do like this perspective of taking college a lot less seriously than people used to, mm-hmm. because people find themselves $250,000 in debt with a useless degree in their hand. I still think a STEM degree is worth having, although pure mathematics, that doesn't necessarily translate to something you can do, but there's a lot of programmers who were pure mathematicians. So I like that. You know, I like the idea of trade schools. Go to a trade school and learn to be a plumber. Mm-hmm. Trust me, they make good money.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's crazy when you actually do your research on trade schools. I think trade schools are talked down a lot and they just don't have the glamour that a four-year mm-hmm. degree has. But if you're striving to get some money in that wallet, there are far more opportunities outside of going to a four-year university that people don't talk about or just refuse to acknowledge as a potential option.
Yeah, academia looks down on trade schools. Mm-hmm. As they look down on the military, if you're too poor, stupid, or psychotic to go to college, then you go to a trade school or in the military. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude, and it's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, anyway, I like the idea of trade. I have a brother-in-law who is a plumber, and he's a bazillionaire. I mean, yeah. You know, he's made all kinds of money. He's a very intelligent man, mm-hmm. but he didn't go the academic route, and the academics like to look down on that.
Mm-hmm. It was just so, sorry to keep going down this rabbit hole, but I just think it's such a crazy concept to me, because you look at high paying jobs in society, and it comes that the jobs that we rely on to keep society functioning, like mm-hmm. the garbage men or the construction workers or things mm-hmm. like that, are the people who don't have the stature that you think they would. Whereas, you know, the people in the corporate codes, which I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm a corporate girl myself, but like, it's just a crazy concept to me that we all as a society are like, oh, garbage men, worthless. They're the ones who keep our cities clean. Like, you know, it just blows my mind, but.
It's really one of the columnists I like pointed out something really interesting years ago. I was reading, there aren't really dead end jobs. There are dead end people. It's about attitude. And I trust a garbage guy who is enthusiastic in the sense that he wants to do a good job mm-hmm. a lot more than I trust a programmer who is this sort of existential crisis ridden, angst driven weirdo mm-hmm. who is an academic star. There's no comparison to me, but you know, that's mm-hmm. that's my opinion.
Interesting. No dead end jobs, just dead end people.
Yeah. You're surrounded. And if I can, you know, and I'm trying to be circumspect about this, but one thing I find is that you're surrounded. If you're in a Western democracy and your life is relatively free, you are surrounded by opportunities. They are everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just, you've got to find the way to see it. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. Mm-hmm. You got to flush them out somehow. And that's hard. That's not easy. That's what an entrepreneur does that other people don't do.
Absolutely. I'm Googling right now. Have you ever heard of the book, The Serendipity Mindset?
No, but I think I can guess what it's about.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. I read it last summer. And it just talks about exactly what you said about making, you know, with your job, getting working with for Visa and trying to fly out there to the West Coast to get yourself in front of them. It's talking about finding or making use of the opportunities in front of you and being in this perspective where there's opportunities all around you. It's about you looking and acting on them. You know, you're sitting down on a bus rather than sitting there buried into your phone. Take a look at the people around you. The person sitting to your right might have a backpack from the company you've been trying to work for. Have a conversation. Develop those opportunities, which I just think for all the listeners, if anyone likes the concepts that we're discussing here, you should check out the book because it's fascinating. And it really just teaches you to have this more open mindset, which I think a lot of us are very closed off and like to tell ourselves that, you know, we're stuck in the situation due to, you know, circumstances that are out of our control. It's in your power, you know, to take a leap of faith and make those opportunities like you're saying.
Yeah. I once got an interview at Pixar, the film company.
Oh, really?
Company.
For what type of role?
It's a technical role.
Okay.
Because I got into a BS session with somebody who worked there on LinkedIn. Cause I just texted him and says, oh, you work at Pixar. What's it like? Da, da, da. I got the interview, didn't get the job, didn't care cause I wasn't really very interested, but it was fun to go there. And it was like a big playground, by the way. It really is like a big playground. Oh yeah. So it was just fun just to see it. But you know, those kinds of things are everywhere. And looking back on my life now, I'm just sad that there were so many opportunities that I realized I had now that I didn't take advantage of. Not because other people didn't offer it to me, it's because I didn't see it. And that's so hard.
Do you have any tips for, you know, how to see it, or is it something that you think comes with reflection? You know, you're talking about these experiences from your past that you wish you would have taken advantage of. Do you think it's more so just about saying yes, or do you have to be actively pursuing? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you need to fail a lot. I think you have to be really willing to fail. I'm not saying chuck everything and become a monk and live up in the woods because you want, you know, I'm saying give it a try, give something a try. And if it blows up, be willing to try to figure out how to deal with that. In other words, don't be afraid of a little bit of pain. Now, if you got a wife and three kids, you know, it's not a great idea to give it all up and become the local soccer coach. You know, maybe you won't be able to have the time to do that. But what you can do is you can explore with people who already do it, you know, how you could work your way into it. Just talk to them. So I guess it's about pursuing failure in some weird way. And staying open to new ideas, you know, wow, you know, I'm just not very good. You know, unfortunately I was too ego driven when I was young, or I'm still too ego driven now, but I was ego driven a lot when I was younger. And at 22, I volunteered for a job at Visa, and it made me the youngest one ever in this particular job. And it was building or designing networks for them. I stank at it. I absolutely stank. I was completely incompetent. And I couldn't get to work on time because I hated being there so much. I would leave early. You know, I got fat. I mean, it was just awful. You know, everything, you know, is just, what am I going to do? And I went into my boss's office one day and said, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. And I was going to go back and be a faceless technician in the mid shift. And he said, well, I'm going to have you talk to the woman who's in charge of the software engineering group, because I had an obvious aptitude for it because I used to do a lot of stuff with them before I took this job. And I ended up working for her. Her name is Marilyn DePauli, and she gave me a chance. And I will be forever grateful to her. So I basically screwed myself royal. And then because of that, I got an opportunity somewhere else.
Incredible. So this is all at that California job.
That was at the California guy Visa. Yeah.
So you I'm just trying to put a timeline in my head then for, so you were only at the company for, it had to have been a short blip before you got this big
job.
That's
right. Yeah. I was a fast burner. I got there in 84 and by 85 or six, I had this job.
Wow. Okay.
I was kind of a wunderkind and, you know, I was working with people who had far more education than me. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was that kind of environment. They didn't really.
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything. From photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
They care. Mm-hmm. They care, you know, what have you done? What have you, mm-hmm. you know? So that's the timeline.
I have to ask, what was the nudge that got you to walk into your boss's office and say, no, I can't do this anymore? Because I think a lot of us find ourselves complacent and just saying this pays the bills. It's not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad. What was the final breaking point where you said, I need to be done with this?
I'm going to digress a little bit. So answer that. After I got out of the Air Force, I took, one of the things I did is I wanted to prepare myself for life as much as I could. And among the things I did is I went and took a battery of aptitude tests by a company called Johnson O'Connor, who are still around and have been since the 1920s. And what they do is aptitude tests. They will, you know, and they have a long 2-day series of aptitude tests they give you. So I took their tests. Among the results that I got was that in one area having to do with dimensional thinking, spatial thinking, I was at the top of the chart. I was absolutely off the very top of the chart. Mm-hmm. Engineers, surgeons, dentists, carpenters, people like that score exceptionally high in that. On the other hand, I was extremely low in an aptitude they call graphoria, which is the ability to work with paperwork, looking at and
really?
Working in
paper.
Okay. Yeah. Accountants score insanely high in that, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
I have very little aptitude. To this day, I almost invariably fill out a form incorrectly because they just don't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
God help you if you ever wanted me to do your taxes, that kind of thing. We'd all be in Leavenworth. I just have no, which is part of the reason why I didn't do well in school. And they told me, incidentally, they said, you would have been better off in an apprenticeship program growing up, which is ultimately what happened in the Air Force. It was an apprenticeship kind of program. Anyway, the thing that nudged me over the edge in this particular job is that it was all paperwork. All it was paperwork and talking. There was no touching things. There was no doing things,
mm-hmm.
Doing spatial things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my hubris, took this job because the prestige meant more to me than the fact that I wasn't a good fit. And I paid the price for it. It was a miserable 8 months, 6 months. I don't know what it was, but it was only months. That was the nudge. I just couldn't deal with the paperwork mm-hmm. anymore. I don't care. There are some things, and the Johnson O'Connor attitude, and mine too, is that there are some things that if you simply don't have a knack for, it doesn't make any difference how much you're paid. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an act, in my case, I don't have an act for paperwork. It doesn't make any difference how much I would get paid. I'm just like, I would be not only not do it well, I'd be unhappy doing it.
Right. Right.
So that's to answer your question, what it was.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, so you got then from this miserable 8 month period, you then landed the next role. Is that where you stayed for the rest of your time? You said what, 30 years in California?
Pretty much. What happened was, is I did a big project at Visa and burned myself out. So I left Visa. I went to Apple in their office in Berkeley, California. And I was there for about 8 months and got laid off. Oh, well, then went back to Visa and I was there for another 8 years or so. Finally, I left Visa because I wanted to get out of the womb, get away. And I worked for, I worked for a startup and that didn't work out. And then I worked for Cisco, the router company, for about 10 years.
And were these all very similar jobs?
Similar. Yeah. Software engineering.
Software engineering. Okay.
Or software testing. That's another unsung job that people don't give the prestige that it deserves.
What would that day to day look like?
Oh yeah. Software testing is interesting. In theory, when a piece of software is written, doesn't matter what it is. It could be a website, anything. Somebody somewhere has written down what the website's going to do. If you press this button, then this is going to happen. If you press that button, this other thing is going to happen. So the presumption is having written all that stuff down, you hand it to a person whose job it is to verify that what you said it was going to do, it's going to do. And not crash, by the way, doing it. There's a famous joke that, and it's kind of long, but I'll tell you the joke is that, this somebody wrote a piece of software for emulating a bar, and they wrote it so that you could walk into the bar and order a beer. You could order 10 beers. You could order negative 10 beers. You could order zero beers. You could order nothing at all. So those are all the cases, right? All the different test cases. So you test all those, right? Then somebody walks into the bar and asks where the bathroom is, and the whole damn thing crashes. That's the kind of thing that a software tester does.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So it's an unsung job. It is looked down upon by the developers, but a good tester is worth their weight in gold. So
they make the society function, yet they.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. And you can tell. And the worst people to ever test software are the people that wrote it, because they make assumptions, and you can't make assumptions.
Right.
So.
Very interesting. Okay. So you were in California all that time doing all that software work. What brought you up to Tennessee?
My father at that time, this is about 9 years ago now, was very elderly and needed, my mother was gone and my father was very elderly and needed attention. He needed some care. So I moved back to Tennessee from California. As it happens, it was a good time to do that because California was getting increasingly expensive and crazy and unsafe, especially where I was. I was in the Oakland Hills. So we moved out here about 9.5 years ago and have been here ever since.
Okay. Okay.
And I work for a couple of startups.
Okay. So still software area. Okay. Very interesting. So now I'm just going to ask you just questions about life in general. And, and given your gray beard, I do think you have the wisdom to share.
We'll see.
So I'm going to hit you with a hard one right at the beginning here. Over the course of your time, well, you're retired now. So looking back at all of your job hopping and moving around, do you have any regrets on the path that you took or any wishes that you have for, you know, to maybe, I know we talked previously about you wishing you would have taken advantage of the opportunities that presented themselves, but do you have any wishes maybe to pursue something totally different, or are you happy and content with the path that you did take?
No, I'm pretty happy with the path that I took. That's never really been a question for me. I think maybe if I may have enjoyed management, but I, once again, getting something done through other people never, you know, enthused me that much. So I kept my hands on the work, so to speak, and mm-hmm. doing that requires you to be what they call an individual contributor. So I have, it's a little regret about that. My biggest regrets, there are two of them. They're not about the path taken, but about the way I handled things. One of them, and I'm not going to use names. One of them was a startup that I was at where I was in charge of testing. Now, the problem was once again, my ego got in the way. I had 9 developers and there was me, 1 tester. That is a bad ratio. And my boss asked me, is everything under control? Are you automating the tests okay? And I said, yes. Now, I didn't think of it that way, but basically I was lying to him. You know, more importantly, I was lying to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was drowning and I didn't have the presence of mind to stick up my hand and say, dude, this is getting out of control and we're going to do something about it, because I was blaming myself for falling behind. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, in the background, I was trying to, you know, shuffle the pea pods and keep everything going. Anyway, I went on a vacation. And while I was gone, he got into the automation and discovered nothing was working. So when I got back, long story short, I had to leave. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. straight up because I lied to the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big regret on my part. And it's like I said, most importantly, it's because I lied to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those things that happened so easily and so fast. I didn't even think about it at the time.
And that feels like a gut punch after.
Oh, it was a total gut punch. Mm-hmm. It was a total gut punch. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. I have one regret, you know. I should have stood up and said, this isn't working, and been fired rather than get caught and be fired. It was a bad deal mm-hmm. all the way around. And, you know, it soured relationships that I had with people. And, you know, it was just a bad, you know, stain on my soul as well as on my career. Mm-hmm. Although there was no fallout from it from, you know, other companies or anything. It was just not something that I would do.
Yeah.
Is this the sort of thing you wanted to ask about?
Yeah.
This...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And mm-hmm. I think it's also my way of finding comfort in the unknown and trusting that my path is going to work out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'd like to lead in is
sure.
myself. You know, I'm 24. Mm-hmm. I have had 2 jobs post-college. I still don't feel like I've quite found exactly what it is that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I find so much anxiety and fear around trying to figure out what that next move is. What's the next thing for me? You know, how is my, like, there's the old telltale where it talks about the man with the string who every time he pulls a string, he gets to fast forward 10 years and see what the next 10 years look like. Mm-hmm. And ultimately he gets to 95 and he's seen all the cool things, but he hasn't ever experienced them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I find myself in that.
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to therealreal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's therealreal.com. Terms apply.
position a lot. Mm-hmm. So I find reassurance in hearing other people say, you know, I don't have any regrets. I don't, you know, I appreciate everything that happened in my path. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, from your perspective, did you ever find yourself in these, especially in, you know, the early parts of your career, just going, driving yourself nuts, trying to figure out what's your next move? Or did
oh,
you,
yeah. feel oh, yeah.
you were very
oh, yeah.
well-centered? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I can talk about some regrets that, yeah, I was thinking about, you know, the emotional gut punch regrets, but there's also some regrets that I can talk about now. So I'm going to revise what I told you earlier. Oh, no regrets. I'm going to revise that a little bit.
Okay.
I should have traveled a lot more. Moved to Singapore, learn Mandarin, settle down with a Chinese wife. I mean, just, just do something. That's something that I always disliked about all the resumes that I used to see is, you know, what have you done to make yourself outstanding? What have you done to make yourself unusual? What makes you a unicorn? What have you done to make yourself a unicorn? You know, a young woman I know, this is a timely thing. This is a few years ago now, so it wasn't quite as heavy duty as it would be now. But she asked me, what should she do with her life? I said, go do 2 years in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. She was Jewish. So you want a perspective on life and how complicated things can get? Mm-hmm. Go give that a try. I mean, just, you know, and that's one of the things that I wish I had done is, you know, just, I should have relocated back to the UK and been a technician there for a while, or, you know, moved to Amsterdam and done just something to make life more interesting than just the sort of straight and narrow path mm-hmm. that everybody thinks you ought to be on.
So let me ask you, because I feel like time and time again, people say that, you know, I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. Biggest regrets are not traveling or not mm-hmm. taking that leap of faith and trying something crazy and new. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is that we, as humans, don't do that? Because everyone and their dogs are saying, I wish I did this.
Yet oh, yeah.
Very few people do, myself included. What mm-hmm. do you think it is that holds people back? And from your perspective, is there a way to overcome that?
Yeah, we get really comfortable where we are, including comfortable in our fears. I'm afraid to move to Portugal and retire there. Although I've been to Portugal, it's nice, but I wouldn't want to retire there. It's you get comfortable with your fears, and it gets easy to just say, well, you know, I just don't have the time. It's a lot easier to cop out than it is to face it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, you know, the reason why I went in the Air Force is because I was in a lot of pain, and I was in enough pain that I, you know, like a burn victim, jumped into a pond. That pond was the Air Force. It did well by me, but mm-hmm. you know, it could have been drugs. It could have been something else. You know, you got to be in enough pain, or you've got to realize that you're screwing yourself, you know, intellectually by just running in that little circle saying, well, you know, I can't. You got to break out of that. And mm-hmm. that's not easy, by the way. I am not, there's not, I don't know what to tell you to break out of that, other than just be aware mm-hmm. that when you think, oh, I can't because I'm afraid to, great, recognize that. But don't let it rule your decisions. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was scary. Yeah, there's been scary. I mean, it was scary going to the Air. It was scary going to California. It was scary coming to Tennessee. Just got a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting because I feel like I've been doing that with myself, the running, mm-hmm. the hamster wheel in my head of things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I try to think about why I haven't taken those leaps of faith and haven't pursued some of the exciting things I've dreamt about. One of mm-hmm. which I told myself for years that I wanted to go be an au pair in a European country mm-hmm. Right after college. And I think part of it for me is, one, the fear of then what do I come back to, which is silly because what if I come back? You know, who's to say that I even come back? So that's one aspect. And two, I think there's a slight piece of fear of what others might think if it's, you know, running away from problems, or if it's just that's not a sensical career path, things like that. And I'm curious to hear from that second perspective of the comparison or what people might think, if you've seen or if you experienced anything differently, given that social media wasn't as present, you know, when you were, mm-hmm. were growing up and making all these career moves, mm-hmm. or if you think that you felt it just as much as people might now.
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind is something my wife told me a long time ago that was, she read it somewhere. And said, the reason why they don't put lids on crab pots is because if one of the crabs starts to escape, the others will grab it and pull it back. I don't know if that's literally true, but it's a very good story.
Yeah.
And I think that people are like that too. You know, human beings weirdly, do not necessarily applaud other people's efforts, especially when they get out of their comfort zone, especially when it reminds you of your comfort zone and how you're not getting out of it. So it's completely normal to get snarky comments from people about, you know, oh, you're wasting your life or you're done, you know, from people that, you know, frequently are, you know, sitting in front of their tube and in their underwear, their mother's basement at the age of 27 or whatever it is. It's there's a wonderful write-up and I'll send it to you that I think he was a columnist in the 80s and 90s. He's a business columnist. I've forgotten the poor man's name. Anyway, he wrote 50 strategies to find success, or 50 strategies to flesh out opportunities or something like that. And one of them was listen to everybody. And the next one was don't listen to anybody. And those are simultaneously true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all I can tell you is, you know, what does your gut say? What do other people say? But more importantly, what does your gut say? You know, it's, If you went to, I don't know, let's pick a company, Hungary, for example, was an au pair. If you, you know, spent your off hours drinking and partying while you were where you're an au pair, we could make the case that you are, in fact, wasting your life. But if you spent your time, you know, learning about the culture, maybe learning the language, although Hungarian is not trivial, I'm told, and maybe going to school. Mm-hmm. You know, getting an MBA at a Hungarian university, that would be pretty awesome on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would argue you're not wasting anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love that little crab story. That seems spot on. Well, I don't want to ask any more like deep questions because that was such a good way to end it. So I do want to ask you though, retired life, how is that? Is it everything it's cracked up to be, or how do you fill your days? What is your exciting, what's the excitement of retirement like?
It's nice. I'm doing technical things because I enjoy it and I'm doing it mostly for free. For example, I designed and built a cat doorbell because we have a cat that likes to be let out on our patio. And then, you know, of course he meows to be let in.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple problem. Small problem is that he also likes to wallow on the ground and yell. So we go out there. Are you wanting in? No, I don't want in. I just want to lay here and yell.
Uh-huh.
So that's a problem. So, and then sometimes we forget he's out there and then, you know, hours will go by and we'll forget it, you know, anyway. So what I did is I designed and built a device with components that are off the shelf. This is not me designing a circuit board,
mm-hmm.
that will listen for a cat using machine learning. It listens for a cat meowing. If it hears the cat meowing, then it turns on a camera to verify the cat is there. And then it sends me a text message to open the door.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And if it's at night, it turns on a little light so the camera can see the cat.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. How long time out. Now I've got so many questions. How long did that take you to figure out, one, mm-hmm. and two, how long did it take you to like build and get all the pieces together?
Oh, it took me, well, first there's been two versions. Version one was audible only, and that led to false alarms. like I said, the exuberance of cat life. He was just out there yelling. And so we would get false alarms. So that was version one. I did that last year. Took me a few weeks to get it together. And so this year, you know, about a month ago, I decided, okay, I'm going to update this guy. So I updated it. And that took me, because I knew what I was doing in terms of the components involved by now, that took me only about 3-4 weeks to finally, you know, get solid the way I want.
That's wait. So that's just crazy to me. So you went and purchased all of this stuff and just put it all together. That is so neat. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Very cool. Is it like a big contraption, or is it, does it look like kind of like a Ring doorbell type? Okay. Very cool.
It's a box about yay big.
Oh, very cool. Oh, that is so nifty. Oh my gosh. You can look it up. Sounds great.
Yeah. Retired life. I spent it doing stuff. I built a website, built a couple of websites for friends. I do martial arts is my hobby. I built a couple of martial arts websites for friends, which, by the way, I don't know how to do, but I figured it out.
Is it just because you have more time on your hands that you're like,
I got more time on my hands. It's like, what am I, you know, what are they going to do? You know, they're going to fire me. So, you know, I have the time. You know, I built another little sensor for my mailbox so that it would text me when I finally get, you know, mail delivered and stuff like that.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh my gosh. I can imagine your house being like just like a super cool techie.
It's fun.
You got
it's
all
fun.
The gadgets. So cool. Well, Tennis, this has been absolutely wonderful. I can't thank you enough. I've very much so enjoyed our conversation and I'm pleasantly surprised by where it took us. I was just telling my roommate, I'm trying, you know, I love the concept that I have with this podcast of sharing people's career journeys, but really what I enjoy more and I think is more valuable to the listeners is getting just to hear stories, you know, who you are as a person, how life has really changed for you. I think the career piece is cool because it exposes people to all the jobs that are out there, but I really do like to just have these very authentic conversations, share these personal stories. And this is such a great way to really kick it off as I get back into things. So thank you so, so much. I really can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
You have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.